All right, we're still talking about the fear of the Lord and health and healing. We're going to look at our reason to listen verse found in Proverbs, the third chapter. So if you turn with me now, Proverbs 3, looking at verse 7 and 8, he tells us, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." What will it be? It'll be health to all. It'll be health to all your flesh and strength to your bones. Right, and again, remember, it says it as a declarative statement. It will be right. So, does God leave us in the dark here? No, He does not. Concerning and regarding your healing, God has not left you in the dark guessing. He has spoken, hasn't He? Amen. God has spoken. Let's read it again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Nancy said earlier that she's not wanting to think this through on her own. She wants to hear from the Lord, right? She wants wisdom from God. Isn't that what you said? So, I mean, that's the first step here, is it not? He says here, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't come up with your plan. Amen? You seek the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I haven't reviewed this in a few weeks, so I'll go ahead and do it now. I was reminded, really, by Brother Rob on Sunday in what he was teaching. If I were going to go to take Knowledge 101 class, what's the first thing it's going to teach me? Yeah, well, it is about facts, and what's the first thing it's going to teach me? The fear of the Lord. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Amen? What's the definition of understanding? Comprehension of facts, isn't it? Right? So it takes those facts, and it opens our minds so we understand them. Amen? And if I'm going to go to, after graduating through knowledge class, I graduate and I go to understanding class, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the first thing understanding is going to teach me?
Fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord, absolutely. And wisdom, what is wisdom? Now, what is it?
Applying knowledge.
How to apply what now I understand, right? You start off with just facts. Mm-hmm. Understanding opens your heart to understand and comprehend those facts, right? It's no longer just that God did this and that. It's why God did this and that, to understand Him. You know the difference between knowing what a person did and understanding why they did it. Isn't there an entirely different depth of understanding, not only just intellectually, but isn't there a different dimension in the relationship? Would you not agree with me? It's the reason why God said, out of all the things He could point out, He said, that's right there. I can put my finger on it. That's it right there. That's why the children of Israel's bodies fell in the wilderness. Because they just knew what I did. They didn't know my ways. They knew about me, but they didn't know me. Right? They knew me like you might know a good Webster's dictionary. But they didn't really know me. Right? Okay, so understanding is to actually have the heart enlarged to comprehend. And then once I understand, once I comprehend, I'm finally now in a position where I can actually begin to walk in true understanding. Amen? And that's the application of that comprehension is what wisdom is. And the first thing I'm going to learn in Wisdom 101 after graduating from understanding class is going to be what? The fear of the Lord. All of them point to the fear. Notice they're all, the first thing that all they're going to bring up to you is the most important thing. Amen. It's the thing that you build everything else on, right? When you start constructing a house, it's the first thing. Would you not agree with me? It's the first thing that you do. So we see that here, that wisdom, that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom all begin with the fear of the Lord. Now go ahead and turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 10, looking at two verses we've seen before, but it's been a while. I just want us to read them before we press forward. Deuteronomy chapter 10, please. The fear of the Lord. What's one of the outstanding things that we've seen one of the things that you would say would be one of the first qualifiers that you know that person is walking in the fear of the Lord. What is it something that you see is part of their character? What do they do?
Peace.
Well, peace is a byproduct of it. I'm talking about what they do, not what they have.
I would say they're able to hold their tongue.
You're right. That's good. I wasn't thinking that, but you're right. No, absolutely. Very good.
They're humble.
They are humble.
It's how they treat their brothers and sisters.
Okay, definitely will show up in how they treat their brothers and sisters. The one I'm looking for is they depart from evil.
Mm-hmm.
Which would encompass all those things, wouldn't it?
Right.
Okay? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Isn't that right? The Bible defines it that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that now, which tells me, if I really understand facts, real facts, it'll tell me to depart from evil. If I understand those facts, it's going to tell me to depart from evil. And if I walk in wisdom, I'm going to walk out departing from evil. All of them are speaking the fear of the Lord, aren't they? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and I tell you, having, and you guys know, having read a ridiculous amount of information in evolutionary stuff, one of the things that I've seen over and over and over and over and over again is that evolutionists who do not like the concept of anarchy are on hard times intellectually. Because evolution can only lead to anarchy because there can be no unified head from which all instruction flows. It is based on what you think. And they already know that scientifically that can't be right because truth isn't subjective. They know that. That's how they believe they've come to the facts that they've come to. And so one of the things that I've read from more than one, not a lot, but more than one, and I'm talking about leaders in the just the pure raw intellectual field of evolution, is that they are not in any way against the Bible or Christianity. And the reason why is because the fact that they realize that in the middle of that is structure and order, and there's a repercussion for things that you do to another person. Whereas if evolution is true, then the survival of the fittest. And in fact, that would be the moral reason to kill your brother. It would be the moral reason to rob from them because you're more fit and you've got every reason to. It's the morality behind robbing is evolution. And they're like, and I recognize that that's not good because eventually it's going to be my stuff that's stolen. And they don't want that. So they're like, I'm all for the rules because I can see in it there's structure and there is, and in that structure there's a form of safety. They're aware of it. I've heard them say it. I've read their words saying that. What I'm trying to tell you is that what they're actually doing is they're getting real so close to being able to grasp what it means to fear the Lord. Because they're recognizing that in the middle of this, the Bible even says that, in the middle of the fear of the Lord, there is safety. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Amen? You follow that? Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 10, looking at verse 12 is where we're starting. Deuteronomy 10, starting verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his what?
Ways.
Notice he didn't say all the things he told you to do, but in all of his
ways.
That tells me that the things that God wants us to do are conducive with his character. Because it's his ways. That's why I want you to do it. It's not just what Jesus, God is not the kind of parent that says, do what I say, not what I do. He says, I want you to do what I do. Amen. Walk in my ways. Amen. He says, to walk in all my ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all, not some, all of your heart and all of your soul and to keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heaven belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with it and all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose them, chose their descendants after them, you above all the people, as it is to this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, right? And be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and does not take a bribe. God doesn't cut deals. Amen? He administers justice for the fatherless. No wonder David says, what is man that you are mindful of us? He has his eye on the fatherless and on the widow, doesn't he? He's aware. God's not blind. When we started all this, going through healing, did we not read several examples where Jesus singled out people that were fatherless or widows? Isn't that right? And that he was moved with compassion. One that strikes to mind immediately is with in the city called Nain, when the procession was going out, and this woman who was a widow and her only son had passed away and was laying in that casket, his heart was moved with compassion. He's not oblivious to your need. He's not oblivious to your hurt. He's not oblivious to your want, is he? He sees the fatherless. And what was the message to Sarah's maid, Hagar. Thank you. Hagar was, I see you. Isn't that right? You're not invisible to me. You might be a maid of someone that, you know, will own you as property for the rest of your life, but you're not invisible to me. Amen. Isn't that true? Yeah. Right? So God says, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So those say, I wanted to read that because it describes, it's a description really of what the fear of the Lord looks like when it's walked out. Because what did he start off with? Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But that you fear the Lord your God. Everything he says after that is completely in keeping with fearing the Lord. In fact, if you did these other things, you would be fearing the Lord. And notice that in keeping with fearing of the Lord is something that Nancy mentioned a second ago, and that is loving your brother. Now, because remember the law in Israel, remember when we were talking about tithe and offerings earlier this past year, one of the things that was required of all Israel was to see to it that the fatherless and the widow and the stranger were always taken care of. Isn't that right? That was the law. That was his ways. Right? You're not invisible. I tell you, if you didn't walk away with anything else tonight, but walk away with the realization, you're not invisible to God. He is very aware, and he cares, and is moved with compassion. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Because if we're not walking away from this understanding more about, I mean, I can read more about what the fear of the Lord does for you, but that tends to be more you-focused, which really makes it not the fear of the Lord, right? And we're going to do some of that, but I like to start off with statements about what the fear of the Lord actually is. Are you with me? Because that's God-focused. Is everybody with me on that? So in Isaiah, in Psalm 34, Psalm 34, we're just going to read the psalm here. I will bless the Lord at all times. This is a psalm of David. Not all of them are. This one is. I will bless the Lord at all times. Notice, you remember about David that he stood out, didn't he, in the crowd. He was other than. Hello? Wasn't he? He was not like other people, and he certainly was not like other kings, was he? He was just like, he had no problem with getting down and dirty with the common man, did he? Even though he had the right to apportion to himself and acclimate certain goods from another person's possession because he was king, he wouldn't do that. He would pay market value for that from you. He never treated people like they were just peasants. David was a good king. He was a shepherd, the Bible referred to him as. Amen? And he understood what shepherding was all about. Remember, God knows how to pull shepherds and make them leaders. Isn't that right? Which is why it's one of his favorite analogies. Amen? And so David was a great man. But the thing that made David different here is he says, I will bless the Lord. Notice he doesn't say, when all the good things that I want to happen, happen. What's he say? I'll bless the Lord at all times. Do we not have eyewitness testimony of that being the fact of David? Even when he, as already having been anointed by the prophet as king, he was running for his life and living in a cave. Hunted, literally. It was hunting season, and David was on the menu, right? And what did he do? He feared and blessed the Lord at all times. Even in the middle of that, he did not look at that as evident token that there must not be a God, or I must not be pleasing him, because God, everybody knows, if you do everything right, it's nothing but blessing, blessing, blessing. He wasn't walking in delusion, was he? He's like, you know what? I'm going to bless God even in the cave. Remember, what did he do? This again, I'm just throwing out some things as they come to me. Because one of the things that we know about David is he was a man after God's own
heart.
Amen. And if I want to draw close to the Lord, and the first requirement he makes of everyone is fear me, well, then I have to know I'm on good ground to realize David was a man that feared the Lord. He had to be. He could not have gotten graduated to the place where he was a man after God's own heart if he missed out on the very first instruction in Knowledge 101 class, right? Obviously. He had to fear the Lord. True? And yet, what did David do? One of the expressions of David fearing the Lord, again, had to do with his response towards people. There was a handful of people that separated themselves unto David and said, you know what? Even if you never become physically king, we will die with you. I mean, these people were loyal. This was before they were getting gold lining their pockets for being loyal. Amen? You already know what kind of... You know what stuff these guys are made out of. Amen? Because they were there back when. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Right? And what these guys loved David so much that they risked their life to go get water from a well that he particularly liked the water of. Knowing they could have gotten killed for going over there. And when they brought it, he refused to drink it and poured it on the ground because in his heart, he could not accept something that could have potentially cost another man's life. He looked at them with great respect, though they were under him. You seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
Notice how God thinks. See, that's a way of God, isn't it? God, though the children of Israel were really a bunch of freaking whiners, weren't they, really? Out in the wilderness when they went, they whined about everything. And I'm not saying that I may not have done the same kind of whining, but that doesn't take away from the fact that what they were doing, they were a bunch of blubbering whiners out there, weren't they? I mean, God had literally moved heaven and earth to get them out there, and then all they can do is whine about it and how he's doing such a lousy job. And yet, what did God do? Even in the middle of them whining, he covered them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. Kept their clothes from wearing out and kept their bodies from being sick. And that had nothing to do with their immediate obedience, did it? That was just God being God. That's just his ways. Oh, Jesus, that ought to help you guys, I'm telling you. He kept their bodies well. It had nothing to do with their actions, did it? Are you hearing me? In the middle, and I'm not saying that your actions don't have an impact on your health. We've seen that in Scripture, have we not? Even Jesus himself sometimes told them, go and sin no more, lest something worse come on you. I'm not trying to teach something contrary to Scripture. I'm just saying that in the covenant that he cut back then, God was just being abundantly good to them because it was his nature to be good. Are you understanding me? So we're never having to twist God's arm when it comes to healing, are we? You don't have to do that. God is all about your healing. So let's keep on going. We haven't even read very far at all. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Jesus, we could just camp on verse 1 and just never leave it. His praise will be continually in my mouth. That, I mean, automatically, you already know that means that unless David just had nothing but good days, this meant his praise was going to be in his mouth as much on the bad days as in the good. Because his praise, what makes him praiseworthy is not because he makes life better for me. His praiseworthiness is because of who he is, not how it benefits me. You can rejoice over the way it benefits you, but you praise him for who he is. Amen? Amen? We praise God for who he is. Amen? And if I never benefit from it at all, Paul and Silas out in the... Yeah, go ahead.
Had a thought. You know, when they left Egypt, they left with all the gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
They were all wealthy.
Yes, they were.
And it didn't faze them.
No.
They still complained.
They still complained.
They had all this wealth.
That's right. That's right. So, we'll find something, won't we? God will never be good enough for a human not to complain. I just got to tell you that. Because if there's a way that we can complain, our flesh will find it. But we're not siding with our flesh, amen? Remember, the dominion of the flesh has been removed from us. Amen? Now, what the Bible tells us? That Jesus died so that the lordship of the body might be done away with. I don't serve that body anymore. It serves us. Amen? It serves the Lord. So anyway, it says, praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast, not in my accomplishments, but in the Lord. Now, could David have looked back on the scope of his life and found some things that in the natural he could have probably tried to boast about? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But see, David was aware that the only ability he had to kill the lion and the bear and the giant was the Lord his God. So you know what, I'm just not going to get off track here. I'm just going to praise the Lord. He shall, I will make my boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. You notice that God delivered David out of his fear in Ziklag before he ever delivered his body out of the trouble? Ziklag was still there. What was left of it. The houses were still burnt to the ground, and the women, the children had not been recovered, nor the goods, and yet the fear had been removed from David. Jesus, I'm telling you, that's good. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstance is. He was delivered before there's ever any physical token of it. Isn't that right? He was already delivered from fear. Let's read that again. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. That's what always comes back to my mind whenever I think about that with David, because it's such a powerful verse there in the scriptures when it talks about that when he was standing there in Ziklag and all the men's hearts were turning and looking at David with laser beam eyes thinking, you're to blame. It says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And the wording there meant that he entwined his soul with God's. God, that's good. He was like, what does the Bible say that in Proverbs, I think it is, or in Ecclesiastes, I guess it is, that a three-strung cord is not easily broken, right? You know, he intertwined himself with the Lord and found his strength in him. Before he ever got into a horseback and encouraged the men, notice those men followed him even after that. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And went to recover everything because they trusted that when he said, I heard the Lord, he heard the Lord. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, David was a good man, was he not? Good example to follow. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. How many does he deliver you from? Oh. I want to hear that even better than that. How many fears, let me ask you again, how many fears does the Lord deliver you from? All of them. Every fear God delivers us from. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out to the Lord, and he heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many?
All.
In Jesus' ministry, how many were healed?
All.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him. Well, I want that, don't you? I want that. The fear, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, man. How many of you need deliverance in an area in your life?
Everybody.
Okay, then you could use the angel of the Lord camping around you, couldn't you?
Amen.
To deliver you in your time of trouble. Well, then just fear the Lord. Hold him in deep respect. I tell you, the fear of man, the Bible says, brings a snare. But boy, I tell you what, the fear of the Lord brings deliverance. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Oh, taste and see. This is not something you can do intellectually. You're going to have to get up and close with the Lord. Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who places the whole of their unconditional trust in him. Jesus. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want. There is no lack. There is no penury to those who fear him. God, let's just read that again. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is how much?
No
lack. No want. No penury for those who fear him. Why would you'd think with all these promises there'd be more takers. Right? But you know, how aware are we often Monday morning of this? You know what I mean? In reality. You might hear, or Thursday morning, as the case may be. You know, maybe not so much. But, you know, the fear of the Lord can go with you anywhere. It's mobile, isn't it? It goes wherever you go. So if I take the fear of the Lord with me, I bring safety with me. I bring deliverance from it for me. I bring a deliverance from fear with me. I'm not ashamed. I know that I have the ear of the Lord because He hears me. Amen. All these things so far. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Oh, now what did you just learn? Tell me who learned something.
He provides everything we need.
Yes, He does, but we read that in verse 9, right?
Well, the young lion is not in fear of war.
No, you're right, that's true too. This is very simple. Don't miss it. Don't make it hard. Read verse 9 and 10 together with me.
They've got to seek the Lord.
Okay. What's that telling me?
There's no want.
Well, I know that. You're right. Absolutely. Okay. But there's no want to the guy in verse 9 either.
Well, but you said
something. Like
true. What?
You have to do something.
You do have to do something.
You have to seek the Lord, which starts with fear 101.
Okay, there you go. The fear of the Lord and seeking the Lord are right here. Listen to this. Let me read it again. If you're getting the exact same result, but doing two separate things to do it, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Are you with me? God says, one right after the other, this is how your need is met. This is how there is no want. Let's read in verse 9 what He says it is. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those that fear Him. Now, the young lion might laugh and can suffer hunger. But those who, you could say, fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. But He says, who seeks the Lord? What's He making seeking the Lord synonymous with?
Fearing Him.
It's right there in black and white, isn't it? Mm-hmm. One is just like the other. You can't fear the Lord and not seek Him. Can you? And you can't seek the Lord in sincerity without fearing Him. Now, you can seek the Lord in pretense and have no heart in it. The Scripture says, we read it a few weeks ago in Isaiah, He says, you know, why is it that you rise up early and seek me as though you were a nation that did righteousness? Right?
Yeah.
Or you can do your Bible time, mark it down on your calendar and say, I put my time in, and you're not seeking God, you're just punching a time clock. Are you with me? So you can have the external of seeking the Lord and it really not be a heart thing. But if your heart really is seeking the Lord, you can't do it without fearing Him. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay? They are one and the same. Or the opposite sides of the exact same coin might be a better way of saying it. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will do what?
Teach
you what?
The fear
of the Lord. So we're again, I know we've read this one time other in here, but I want to read it again before we read some of our ending scriptures, okay? Because, again, if we walk out of this and we don't understand how do I fear the Lord, well, this doesn't do you any good just to know it's connected with healing. Are you with me? You better walk away knowing how to do this. And so I think a good way to go is when you got a guy who obviously did fear the Lord, and he's saying, I'm offering you Fear the Lord 101 class. Right? I'm about to teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, then we need to be attendees. Right? So let's read what he says. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now let's stop there. Most people would not mind living a long time as long as the days that they were living were good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true? So that pretty much puts everybody in one big bag. Most people wouldn't mind living a long life as long as it was a good life.
Mm-hmm.
If it stunk, many people would take for the opt-out program. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But here he's saying, whoever wants to live long and have good. Right? Okay, so now so this is something he's... Now, what is he about to teach us here? About what? The fear of the Lord. Now, let me ask you first. If you lived a long life, what would make it really intrinsically good? I don't mean by the world standards. I mean with the child of God's enlightened eyes understanding of what good is. What would make it good?
Fear of the Lord.
Well, the fear of the Lord would make it good, there's no doubt.
Relationship.
Relationship with God would make it good. What else?
Staying close to Him with His relationship.
Okay. I'm sorry, peace? Peace would make it good.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is everything, isn't it? Right? Contentment would make life good, wouldn't it? You think health might play any role in this at all?
Yes.
Because otherwise it's not good days.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
How many of you can look back on sick days and say, that was a great day? You know what I mean? Maybe something good might have happened in it, but it wasn't because you were sick. That part stunk, right? Sick is not good, is it? No, it's not. It doesn't keep you from having good things happening to you, but sick is not good, is it? Okay? So, what is he saying here? He's already beginning by teaching them, he's already starting his lesson on fearing the Lord by baiting them with something. How many of you, come to me all my children, and I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to live a long life and it be a good life? All the little kids shoot their hands up, right? What's he doing? He's baiting them. What is he? Now, is this a bait and switch?
No.
No, he's saying, in other words, if you fear the Lord, your life will be long and there'll be good days. Hello?
Yes.
Otherwise, why is he even bringing this up? Are you with me? Does anybody follow me at all?
Yes.
Okay. Why bring this up if it's not even connected? I mean, what do you do when you're teaching little children, which is what he's qualifying people as, right? Mm-hmm. You bait them. You give them a reason to listen, right? How many of you would like to, if you're telling, talking to a, I don't know what grade they begin to learn math, how many of you would love to be a fireman when you grow up? And all these little boys, they get their hands shoot up. And how many of you would like to do, and I don't know what the girls would like to do, but, you know, they'll bait them, won't they? You know, say, well, you know, you realize that in order to do this and in order to do that, you're going to have to understand math. You bait them. Mm-hmm. You give them a reason to listen. What's David doing here? He's giving you a reason to listen. And if his reason is not directly connected with what he's teaching, then it's a pointless exercise. Would you not agree with me? Okay, so he says here, let's start again in verse 11. Come to me, you children. Listen to me, and I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he might see good in them? Well, then let me tell you what you want to do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil. Well, we already know that's about the fear of the Lord, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And do good. Seek peace. And pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their... Okay, so righteousness has got something to do with this too, doesn't it? And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, then that would not qualify for a long, good life, would it?
No.
If God's face is against you. He says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their remembrance from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of how many?
All.
Is this not a theme that we have seen since January? God doesn't let things slip through the cracks. All is what God's interested in. But you know, it starts with not just all of your, all those that are sick being healed. It starts with all of your heart. You want an all response from God, give an all response to Him. Hello? That right there would preach. You want an all response from God? Give an all response to Him. You want a measured response from God? Well, give Him a measured response. Right? I mean, does that transfer into the New Testament? You bet it does. What does it say in the book of James? If you will draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Right? However, if you are going to be haughty and proud, it says God withholds Himself from the prideful. Well, isn't that a lot like the face of the Lord is against those who do evil? I don't need that. How many people feel like they need God's face against them? You know what I mean? Well, then this is all for us, isn't it? The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. How many of you have at times in your life, by just being aware that God was near, made it better? In all of those cases, did it necessarily make the problem go away? But did it make it better? Oh, Jesus, yes, it did.
Because you had the assurance that He was there.
Yes, and it didn't make any difference to you at that point. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you didn't want whatever the bad thing was to go away or be changed, but what brought peace to the soul happened before the problem ever changed. If it never changed, you still had your peace, didn't you?
Yes.
Amen? Because it's all about Him, isn't it? It's not about our circumstances. That's silly. The world thinks that way, not children of God. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such that have a contrite spirit. Many. How many?
Many.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God doesn't say you're not going to... Just because you have good days doesn't mean you don't have affliction too. Jesus, would you say that Jesus had good days? Mm-hmm. You bet he did. He was with God every day. Never broke fellowship. I'm saying he was walking on the top of the hill of what's called good. Would you not? Mm-hmm. And yet he also was a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief. And those are not in any way opposite concepts. You can have both going on in the exact same heart at the exact same time. Hello?
Yes.
Isn't God pleased with his children and yet he's angry with the wicked all at the same time? Same God, same heart. Isn't it? Okay. Let's see what he says here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them.
Oh.
There we go again. He guards all his steps. Not one of them, guards all of their bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants. Thank you, Lord. And none of those who trust in him will be condemned. Well, that's good, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a sure foundation we have. Now turn, if you will, to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. So really the lesson David was teaching there, most of those things had to do with things that you do, doesn't it? Hello? Let his lips not speak evil or deceit. Keep himself from wickedness and evil, right? Those are all things that you do, right? And yet, you know, again, we already know that we don't produce the doing because all the works were prepared for us and in us before the day we were even created, the scripture says. He says that he created those works that we should walk in them. Amen? They were already prepared beforehand. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit we work these things out. But I'm just saying that to say that you have relational trust in God and hold him in deep and affectionate reverence and don't walk, you're lying about the first group. You're not trusting him about Jack. Because if genuine faith is there, walk is going to be there. And what James taught us, isn't that right?
Yes.
He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen? If I genuinely trust, place the whole of my relational trust in him, as David said earlier, then I'm going to find myself walking. Amen? I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to be walking in evil. Amen? And because of that, what are some of the benefits we just read? He's going to deliver us out of all. Fill in whatever it is, whether it has to do with over here when it says that, I've already moved now. Out of all the things that were listed there, he gave several different things. He always said all, didn't he? All of them he will deliver you. Amen? So what does this really fall? Whose ball, whose court is the ball in?
Ours.
It's in ours, isn't it? Right? Okay. So Psalm 103. We're going to start in verse 17. Psalm 103, starting in verse 17, says, but the mercy of the Lord. Well, what do we find out? What is one of the ways that mercy is manifest?
Yes, there's comfort and love.
In keeping with what we've been talking about.
Oh, well.
What is healing?
Help. Yes.
It's a mercy, isn't it? Hello? I feel like you guys are just catatonic. You guys are with me, right? Okay. So healing is a mercy, isn't it? We've learned that over and over and over and over again. So don't lose that when we're reading this, okay? He says here, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on who? Those that fear him. Then would you say that there's a direct connection there between the fear of the Lord and health?
Yes.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? The fear of the Lord. So let's read it again. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over how much?
All.
Everything. Does that include sickness?
Yes.
It rules even over sickness. The rule of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Is his rule where? In the hearts of men, right? His kingdom rules over all. Therefore, there's not a part of your heart you want to be sanctioned off to some other kingdom. Isn't that right? Says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. How many places does He rule in?
All.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, verse 17 was the key one, but I wanted to read the whole thing. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children. Turn with me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I love this one. Let's just start in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. Well, that would be someone who doesn't fear the Lord. Did we read that earlier? Show me your ways, O Lord. What's he asking for? He's not asking for a checkoff list, is he? He wants to know God intimately. Show me what you do and why you do it. I want to know you. That's essentially what he's asking here. What'd you say there, Terry? Oh, you're agreeing. Okay, I thought you had another word for it that might help. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have existed from ancient times. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. I don't think I've ever really picked it up like that before. I like that. Don't remember my sins, but according to my mercy, your mercy, remember me. According to your mercy, remember me. God's mercy remembers us entirely different than you remember you. Aren't you glad? Yes. Well, I tell you what, that right there just make you happy, won't it? God doesn't remember all the stupid stuff, because there's a ton of that, right? Lots of that going on. But God, what does David say? You know, don't remember me according to the dumb stuff I did when I was young. And let me just throw in all the stupid things I've done since I was young, right? But instead, according to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. God is good, isn't he? Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. And the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Jesus. Remember, we learned mercy. Healing is in the middle of that mercy. How many of the ways of God are loaded with mercy?
All of them.
If God's in it, there's healing someplace, isn't there? Amen? Jesus, I'm telling you, that's good. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Now, do you guys remember, I told you a long time ago what the testimonies of the Lord are. Do you guys remember what that was? I broke them all down for you at one point. The commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord. I went through all of them. It's been a while. You've slept since then. The testimonies of the Lord, according to the Hebrew language, essentially it means what God testifies about His own character. That's what it means. What God testifies about Himself. The testimonies of the Lord. Okay? To such as keep His covenant and, this is, you could have essentially said, His ways, by saying His testimonies. Okay? For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Boy, I prayed that prayer. Amen? I prayed that prayer. He says, for your name's sake, notice that David, as a man who fears the Lord, makes God's appointments, God's directives, God's actions in your life about his character, not about your need. Hello?
Yes.
How many times? And Israel knew this. Didn't they say that? Lord, deliver us for your name's sake. Not deliver us because, man, we need it. Have you seen what Pharaoh's making us do? They never said that. They didn't say, Lord, deliver us because of our bad situation. Deliver us because it's in keeping with your own testimony of your own self. All of your ways are mercy. Amen? Well, I tell you, get that down inside of you guys. I'm telling you. You need to spend some time with that. God doesn't do anything he does in this life because of you. You need to know that already. You are not the one pulling puppet strings and God's your puppet. Your actions don't dictate what he does. God acts out of who he is. Amen?
Yes.
Now, you can thank God that you are something he's all about. You are in his heart. So, God being true to himself means he's also going to be true to you. Amen? Because you're in his heart. But not just because you need it. There's lots of people that need lots of things. Isn't that right? How many things have you needed in your life and you went without? Yes? Your need was all not what was necessary to get God to move, was it? God has got compassion on everyone, doesn't he? But his ability to move towards you is an entirely different thing, isn't it? Okay? He says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Don't tell me that David did not feel the feeling, God, I need you to pardon my iniquity because it's bearing down on me and it's oppressive weight and I can't handle the guilt of this. Don't tell me he didn't feel that. He was human. But he didn't make God's removing the iniquity from him about his need. He made it about God's character. So you think maybe that has an implication to how we pray concerning our health.
Yes.
Amen? Don't make it about you. Make it about him. But you don't have to worry because all of his ways are about mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? He says, pardon. He says, according to your name, I'm sorry, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him he shall teach in his way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. Oh, now we're getting some good stuff here. The secret of the Lord, stuff he doesn't tell other people. Oh, come on, guys. Stuff he doesn't just tell anyone. God will say things to you sometimes. And he might tell you, that's between you and me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just go share this with anybody. This is you and I. You know, because, you know, your relationship with God belongs between you and him. I'm not saying that I shouldn't benefit from your relationship with God, because if I don't, you're not being a faithful steward over the influence you've received. But there are some things that are secrets. Amen? They're just between you and the Lord. And who does he share that with? Not just anyone, but those who fear him. Because God doesn't cast his precious treasures before swines. Am I right? Yes, Terry, go ahead.
I just got this little picture of, just say somebody visiting in town that you really respect or really want to, you know, get to know or whatever, and they have a meeting, and pretty much everybody else goes home, but you linger, and you
mm-hmm.
help, and you get involved, and you become these last few people that are around, and then this person begins to let down their guard, and they become more vulnerable, and they begin to say things, and
mm-hmm.
you get to know more who they really are rather That's than right. just the persona of the person at the meeting,
mm-hmm.
and because you lingered, and you,
mm-hmm.
you desired to
You were a Caleb. You were a Joshua.
Yeah.
That's right. And that those people learn something of not just... The people out in the audience learn their ways. I learn what they do, but they don't know them, isn't that right? They learn their ways if you stick around after the show, right? You know who they are,
mm-hmm.
right? When they stub their toe, are they just as Christian then as they were when they were saying praise the Lord and the mic was in their hand, mm-hmm. right? Well, you know, this is the same mm-hmm. basic idea. When you're dealing with the Lord, you know, now he's not going to drop the ball because... His character is good, isn't that right? But the bottom line is, his secret is going to be spoken to you. Amen? Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
Think about that. Isn't that awesome? The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him, for he will show them his covenant. Man. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, For I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Oh, bring me out of trouble. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Notice what he's doing here. He's pointing back again to God's revealed character, because he couldn't trust in God if God had not revealed something to him. He's saying, I am operating in relational trust with the God that I know. This is about you. Amen? Let iniquity and uprightness preserve me, for I will wait for you. Redeem Israel, Lord, out of how many? All of their troubles. Thank you, Lord. We're going to end with that. I have had several other scriptures, but we can pick up there at another time. But how many people are recognizing that the fear of the Lord is a rather large issue that has massive umbrella effects in our life, doesn't it? Amen. Doesn't it? Amen. But you know, in the middle of the fear of the Lord, there's safety. In the middle of the fear of the Lord, there is no want, there's no penury. Amen. And what does the angel of the Lord do? He encamps around us. Thank you, Lord. One of the ones we didn't read tonight that I'm just going to give you a quick preview of. It talks about that evil will not visit them. But the word visit doesn't mean it won't show up at your door. It means it won't lord over them. That's what the word visit means.
It's not staying.
It doesn't have the right to become king. Right? Evil may knock on your door. It may come in and try to steal some of your food. It may walk away with some of it. But it can't stay. Not with those that fear the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.